are glad to see all of you and even to hear what the Lord has been doing in your lives. You know, hearing the testimonies that you guys have. You know, David, thank you for sharing that. I know that you're a man of prayer. And when you told me that the Lord is going to meet my needs, you know, and that I'm going to get a new place, you know, as a pastor, I just said that God, you know, just hear his prayer. And I thank the Lord that indeed God had you. Also to hear Tony, Dottari, and, you know, what the Lord has done, even in that clinic, the Grace Clinic. So if you're in those area of Banana and all that, and you're feeling unwell, see Tony. He has shared a testimony of how God has been with him, right? And so I know that he'll be able to treat you and to take care of you if you are unwell. But also thank you, James, for sharing about, you know, not bribing, that God can meet your needs. That indeed, when you have God, you have the Godfather, you know, that you don't need anything in this country to happen because you don't have networks, that you just need to believe in our God. Even as we pray that the systems in this country, they will work, that people need not to pay anything, but they get whatever they need because of their own merit. Also, Karanja, thank you for sharing that testimony. I know that we've been part of that praying for your daughter and even the regroup, but to see that Tyra is feeling well and that God has rescued him and restored her, that gives us a lot of joy, and to know that indeed God is hearing our prayers and is answering to them. But also even hearing, you know, that God, our sister, that the way that God has come through, delivered you, you have known God and all that. We know that that time, it wasn't really a waste. 2021 wasn't a waste in the Lord's eyes. And even hearing the encouragement that we have received from, you know, our dear mom, Elizabeth, and we continue praying for you and for your family, that indeed God will continue comforting you. But also a special thanks from us. The regroup indeed came through, and it showed the real meaning of a regroup, that indeed it's coming in there for joyful moments, but also when one of us is limping and having a hard moment. But you may think that this year there is no need to look forward. You know, this is just like any other year. But I want to commend you before the Lord so that you may have a reason to hope in this God who makes all things new. For many of us are saying, I don't need to write a resolution. Maybe in the past, resolutions have not worked. I want to encourage you to write them, to write them down. You know, God is the creator of newness. He's the creator and the author of newness. So as you are here this time, he's the one who has created it. He's the one who has initiated this. You know, in his word, he tells us that his mercies are new every morning. In the book of Isaiah, he says that I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? So cling on to God, hope in God, who is the author of newness. This newness may be for good things, but also it may mean that the newness is not what would love. You know, it's not what we would have hoped for. You know, the newness is maybe a time of lack, a time of grief, but still you can trust and cling onto him. So God is the creator of newness. So do not worry or do not fret, and you can still hope in him. But even as we say so, we must acknowledge that last year was equally hard. You know, it was a hard year, you know, to many, to families going through or sitting down with families that were going through a hard time, whether financially or even marital struggles. You know, these things are real. And I know, and I sat down with many families which were going through a hard time. It was also a time of lack. Many people have gone through a season of lack, of scarcity. Some people even didn't have food. And I have to thank you, the congregation here, because of your giving, that, you know, the church allocates some money on the side to support or to buy food for those in our congregation who may not have food. We may not take care of every need, but at least we can take the need of food. And many also who struggled, even spiritually, you know, trusting in God. God, you say that you are good, but the things that are happening are not very, very good. Are you there? Do you hear me? And going, working with people who are going through some time of spiritual journey that seems harder than before. But also going, as Elizabeth said, you know, going through a hard time of losing people from our congregation. And last year, we buried quite a number of guys from our congregation. But even also supporting the people who had lost maybe a relative, a close person, a close loved one, like parents or something like that, and being with them. I want to encourage you that even as you start this year, that you start with the hope and the comfort that only God can be able to supply and only God can be able to provide. I pray that God's grace will be sufficient for you in that season. But anyway, even as I say so, it is I have to say that also many good things happen to our people. You know, people increased. You know, people are blessed with children. Our Sunday school increased. We were able to dedicate about 150 children. And such things, they give us a lot of joy. Seeing our Thursday prayer service, you know, growing in number, people really desiring and asking to pray, you know, to be at that place of prayer, that gave us a lot of joy. You know, being invited as pastors, as your pastors here, by many of you to come and dedicate houses, you know, those good things, you know, praying and giving thanks for the provision that the Lord has given you, whether it's a car or land and many other good things that had happened in the past. And we pray that indeed God will continue pouring, you know, his favor upon you so that even this year, and your pastors will be ready to come and dedicate such things. But also remember to share the good things with your pastor. Galatians 6:6 says that whoever receives instruction in the word, you know, should share the good things with the ones who instruct them. So I'm not the one who has said that. It is the Bible. Galatians 6:6. Go and check it out. You know, but that's on a light, that's on a light note. But no matter the year, friends, all of us have a reason to thank the Lord and even to trust in him. I love one quote by a lady called Cori Boom, who says that never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God. Because yes, this may be new to us. We have never been to this time. But God is already there. God is not bound by time. He can see the beginning or the end from the beginning. He's the Alpha and the Omega. As we are limited by time, but him, he's not constrained by time. So he knows how the future looks like. Everything is bare before his very presence. But also the way to get into 2022 is really to trust in the Lord. To trust in the Lord. To trust him with all our heart. And he'll be able to direct our paths. Whatever it is, whether small or big, let me remind you that we need to trust in the Lord. And to say that, Lord, let not my will be done, but yours be done. But even as I say so, we really need a totally different year, many of us. We want, when we are looking back at the year in December this year, that we look back and say, indeed, the hand of the Lord has been with us. The hand of the Lord has been with us. That we want to testify of his goodness. We want to see that. But I want to remind you three things that we are going to discuss today from the book of Psalm chapter 84. And allow me to ask you to open your Bibles to Psalm 84. As we desire to have a blessed year, I want us to see these three things in this text here. I want us to be encouraged and to know that a blessed life is one that resolves to love God, that a blessed life from this text is one that remembers that God supplies the strength even during hard times. And also, a blessed life is one that responds to God by serving him. A life that responds by serving God. So let me read quickly for you Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. O Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their eyes on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you. And that's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As we discuss the things that we can learn from this text, and I pray that they be able to encourage us to look and to pursue God throughout this year. There is something there that I noted there. There is a superscription there on top, just before verse 1, that says, for the director of music, according to Gittith, of the sons of Korah, a psalm, at least from NIV. I don't know many other, the other versions, what it says there. And I thought maybe, let me take you, you know, through a free history lesson so that you may understand the bigger context of this passage here that we have just read. And I did ask, the reason why I'm doing this is because I asked a few guys, you know, do you know sons of Korah? Who are they and all that? And a few friends, you know, didn't have clarity on who these guys were, the sons of Korah. It can be, you know, the sons or the descendants of Korah, so to speak. When the children of Israel left Egypt, and the Lord said that he's going to give them the land of Canaan, the promised land, he told them that he's going to divide the land in accordance to their tribes. So they were 12 tribes, and these were the sons of Jacob. And he said that one tribe in these 12 sons of Jacob is not going to get a physical inheritance of land. It is going to, you know, that the Lord is going to be their portion and their inheritance, because the Lord was setting them apart to serve him as his priest or his people in his temple. So they never got this inheritance. Perhaps some of you know this tribe. It's called the tribe of Levi. You know, they never got an inheritance, but the Lord became the inheritance. They were supposed to serve the Lord to be in the service of the Lord. This son, Levi, had three sons. One was called Gershon and Merari and Kohath. Allow me to concentrate more on Kohath, because the other three sons and their lineage, they had different tasks in the temple of the Lord. But this Kohath, his task and his generation, they were given the tasks of carrying, you know, the holy items, not on their shoulders, but rather, I mean, not on the cuts of donkeys or something like that, but rather on their shoulders. And so Kohath, you know, started becoming angry about this task that he had been given by the Lord. And he started to envy the other bigger roles, you know, that his brothers had been given, the roles of being a priest. And so because of that, he started hating, you know, and envying other roles. Way later, this attitude of, you know, envy and disdain, you know, followed one of his grandson called Kohath. So we are now from Kohath, from Kohath now to this grandson called Korah. And Korah, now they're in the wilderness, the children of Israel are in the wilderness with Moses as their leader and Aaron. Kohath, you know, Korah started becoming agitated because of the role that God had given to Akina Moses. And so he mobilized about 250 men. These were community leaders, you know, to rise up against Moses. And the story is very, very funny. It's recorded in the book of Numbers chapter 16. Perhaps we can just quickly read. Let me read it for you. And if you have time, you can check it out later. Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, son of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses, and with them were 250 men. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and say to them, you have gone too far. The whole community is holy. Every one of them. It's funny how sometimes envy can make you, can place you to a place, you know, you can elevate yourself to a place that you do not belong. They say that every one of them is holy. Were they really? And the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly? In essence, what they were saying is that the decision that God has made to appoint Moses and Aaron, that it was an ill motive. And this is being driven by envy. You know, and so they come and say, that you have gone too far. In Greek, in our language, it's very, very funny when you say it. You know, you are come slowly, you have come too far. Ni woke mono, that's French. And Moses tries to correct this problem. You know, he tries to go to them. You know, let's sit down and let's talk. Do you know what they say? They say this, that then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, but they said, we will not come. And then they say, will you gouge out the eyes of this man? No, we will not come. In a sense, they were saying, I think this is the origin of Tupanguigui. Senor, Sipanguigui, you not pangas at all. No, we will not come. And the Lord was angry. The story is longer than I can share. But God was angry with these three. And something happened. God says there, separate yourselves from this assembly so that I can put an end to them at once. The Lord was angry. And the root cause of this was envy. Friends, be careful of envy. It can lead you to a place of disaster. And so that's what happened. Then the Lord said, verse 23 to Moses, say to the assembly, move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Move away. And the Lord did something that as soon, you know, in verse 31, the ground under them split apart and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them with their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them. They were removed from the face of the earth, the three of them. But now the other 250 community leaders, you know, fire came up from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who are offering the incense. Then the Israelites, even after seeing this, they started grumbling. You have killed, some of us. You have killed some of us. And the Lord still was angry with the people of Israel. And he released a plague. And about 14,700 Israelites were killed during that time, just from envy. But it seems that the Lord preserved a few descendants from Korah. And later they are the ones who have written quite a number of psalms, around 11 psalms. They have written 11 psalms in the Bible. This encourages me in this way, that the descendants of Korah, you know, they came from a place of rebellion and envy. But after these incidents, God changed them. Or they saw something and they started loving the Lord. They write some psalms that are very, very helpful, like Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul thirsts for you. Psalm 46 that many of us know, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God, that I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in all the earth. They wanted to be exalted. Their ancestors wanted to be exalted. But now they have seen what God has done. And they have come back to sing a new song, a song of humility, a song of gratitude, and a song of dependence on God. Friends, it doesn't matter the rebellion that you might be going through. Perhaps you have stayed at one place of sin and you're rebelling against the Lord. If you change, also, you can write or you can have a new song, a song that you depend on God and you can glorify the Lord. So do not rebel against the Lord. Turn back and serve the Lord. Actually, in Psalm 84, they say, the descendants of Korah will say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The work that they didn't want, their great-grandfathers, they never wanted. Now that's what they want because they have seen the benefit. All right, let's go back to our psalm. Sorry for that long comment there. Bible commentators agree that Psalm 84 was sung by pilgrims who were coming back during a time of festivities to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. This is a song that they were singing. It was sung and they were singing this song with a desire to dwell in the presence of the Lord. They looked forward with great anticipation to fellowship and to be in the presence of the Lord. They say these words there, that how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. They have now resolved to love the Lord. And it's the same for us. The song was sung by the Israelites going to the temple to worship the Lord. But for us who are believers, we know that we are sojourners in this world. This is the very same song for us, that every day, every single day brings us closer to a reality in meeting with our God. And I pray that that will be our desire, to grow and to love the Lord, so that one day we'll be able to appear before him. And so this is a song of love. The psalmist expresses a longing to be near God, a people who long to fellowship with God and to enjoy his presence. They are not yet there, but they are marching towards that place. They are marching towards that place. Even for us, we are marching towards heaven to enjoy the eternal presence of God. It's the same picture for us, where we shall be reunited with people from different nations, from different tribes, from different tongues, from different backgrounds. And the one thing that we shall be doing is to enjoy the presence of the Lord and praising him, as John in the book of Revelation, you know, tried to give us a snippet of what happens in heaven. But there's something else that happens in there. The psalmist, you know, loving and desiring to love God, sees something else. That before the Lord, check with me in verse 3. He sees something there. He says that even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. And the picture here that we have here, first a sparrow, you know, that small bird, is a very weak bird. And I think what I get from this story here is that even the weakest of us, even the ones who cannot be able to perhaps recite a memory verse, the only one that you know is Jesus wept, and you don't even know where it is, you might be weak in many ways, that still you have a place in the presence of the Lord. Then he says that a swallow has found a place to lay her young. A swallow is a small bird also, but it's very restless. It's very restless. I remember growing up in the village, and thank God that now it is a city in Nakuru. It's a city. Then it was a village when we were a small boy. And near our place, there was this decommissioned quarry that was just next to our place. And we used to go there and to hunt these small birds, the swallows. You know, we used to go and hunt them. You know, it was all something like a cliff, and then they had dug their nest in this cliff, small holes. And we go there and lay our dear mom's blanket, you know, and they are unable to fly out, and then we get them out. Because we believed one thing, that when you eat the heart of a swallow, that you are going to be athletic. You are going to run and never grow weary or tired. That's what we believed. And so over time, we slaughtered hundreds of these small birds, and sorry, God, we were foolish then. We were foolish then. You know, but what it means is this. Even the restless person, whether spiritually, that still you can find a place in the presence of the Lord. You who find yourself so restless, you're confused, you don't know what, if you rely on God and if you desire to love the Lord, that you can lie down and enjoy his presence. Because outside there, it is risky, it is not safe. But in the presence of the Lord, it is safe. That's point number one. Point number two, a blessed life is one that remembers that God supplies strength even during the hard times. The Israelites on this journey met many, many challenges. For example, there will be weather challenges. There will be hazards along this way. There will be dangerous animals along this route as they aim to go and worship the Lord on their way to the temple. They had to travel through a very, very hard and risky terrain. And look with me at verse 6, what it says. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of spring. The valley of Baca, you know, I tried to run a word search in the Bible. There's no other place in the Bible where this word is found. It's only found in Psalm 84. And this is what it means. It has two meanings. One is metaphorical, the other one is literal. That one, it can either mean a place of weeping, a place of tears. The second thing, it can mean a tree that thrives in the desert, the tree called mulberry. That's what it can mean. So the picture that we get here, whether literal or metaphorical, is the picture of a dangerous, dry, and desolate route that the pilgrims had to endure as they passed through, as they were aiming to go and fellowship with the Lord. Friends, I will lie to you by telling you that this year you'll have everything that you need. I will lie to you if I tell you that you're not going to go through challenges throughout this year. There'll be moments that you'll be discouraged. There'll be times that you meet some struggles in your relationships or even in your family. There'll be times that you receive the news that you never wanted. But if you rely on yourself, you're not going to make it. Verse 5, before that, Valley of Baca tells us, verse 5, blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on a pilgrimage. As they pass through the Valley of Baca, they make it a place of spring. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before the Lord in Zion. When we do life, for those people who love jogging in the morning, I don't like it, you know, but for those who like, you start from a place of strength, but by the time that you're finishing on the other end, you are done. But the psalmist here tells us that even when you go through that hard terrain, that if you have trusted in the Lord, and if you have trusted that the Lord will supply the strength that you need, then you come from strength to strength. Not from strength to weakness, but from strength to strength. From strength to strength. That's what it tells us, that those who trust in God, you know, that the Lord will also cover them, or the Lord will help them to cover that desolate and dry land. And the Lord will allow them to give it dignity. That's what it says, that it, you know, they will make it a place of spring. They make it a place of spring. The arid and bleak place is transformed into a beautiful place. So whenever we go through a hard time, some of the best ministries that we'll ever do, they are founded on the platform of tears. So when God allows you to go through a hard time, it is not in waste. It is not in waste. It is to testify of God's goodness and God's greatness, to turn that place, that thing, into something beautiful, something that will refresh even others. So do not tire of sharing your testimonies. Do not tire of sharing the things that the Lord has allowed you to go through. They encourage others, and God can use that to turn that bad thing that you think into a pool that will refresh even others. Friends, following Jesus doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to experience all the comfort in this world, but there's something that he will carry you. He's the one who provides that strength. He's the one who carries you. You know, when it says in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, the Lord bestows favor and honor. Even when you're going through that hard time, that the Lord will be your shield and the Lord will be your sun. When you're going through dark moments, that the Lord will be your sun and he'll light that path. That when you are facing dangers, that the Lord will cover you. He will be your shield. In the same words that Moses writes in Psalms 90 or Psalms 91, that those who dwell in the presence of the Lord, that the Lord will spread his wings and he will cover them and he will shield them. He will shield them under his wings. And do you know what? That they will find strength and also they find refuge under the wings of the Almighty. When we were growing up, we used to slaughter those chickens. That was my task. And there are some small feathers when you pluck out the feathers. There are some small feathers there that, you know, they are very soft that you can't pluck them out. Do you know what you guys used to do? Or you do now, you know, you light a flame, right? And then you burn those small ones because you cannot pluck them out. They have an English name, actually, just in case you think I struggle with English in many ways, but not in this way. That, you know, they're called downies. You know, that the Lord will cover you, you know, in those downies, not in the hard feathers, in the soft feathers. And mothers who are here, they know a product called downy, right? It's a what? It's a fabric softener, right? That the one that you put on your children's clothes so that they can be soft and all that. That the Lord will cover you in his wings, under those feathers, under those. That does not mean that there is no danger around, but it means that he covers you from danger and he protects you and he shields you. So we can trust the Lord, even during hard times, that he'll be able to supply the strength that we need and the strength that we so much desire. Finally, when we say that the Lord will supply the strength that we need, what is then our response? Our response should be a response of serving him, that we live for him. We must always remember that whatever we experience, whether good or bad, God allows it to happen because he loves us and he wants to glorify himself through us. He does whatever he does because he wants to glorify himself. It's not for us. And with this knowledge, God is then pleased by a man who says that, Lord, it is not my will, it is your will. Let your will be done. But not stopping there. Doing what God wills. Doing what pleases the Lord. And in this case, it is serving him. The sons of Korah saying that God never withholds anything good, as verse 11 tells us, he never withholds anything good from those who walk with him, says in verse 10, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. That's what it says. Initially, he was saying that I want to go there. I want to go to that place of the Lord and all that. But now he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in my God's house. In my God's house than dwell in the tents of the wicked. The ancestors of Korah, they died outside their tents. But he wants to serve in the house of the Lord, showing that the service of, you know, when he serves the Lord, it's a permanent thing. The tents of the wicked, they are today here, the tents are here today. You know, tomorrow they are not there. But the house of the Lord will last forever and ever. He gives us a picture of permanence. So friends, whatever little is done in the service of the Lord bears more fruit even for other generations to come. Ask the Lord to show you, where, Lord, do you want me to serve you? Even giving that glass of water, even sometimes hosting that real group and people don't show up, that is not in vain. When you come here as a Sunday school teacher and you're helping these kids, that is not in vain. When you stand here to sing and to lead us into praise and worship, that is not in vain. When you wait on the Lord and you bless people with a word and you encourage them, or even open your house for a stranger, that is not in vain. The psalmist says, he's saying here that even the least job in the service of God is better than the best job outside of God. This is critical when you remember that, you know, initially they hated this job, but finally they have seen that there is great benefit. So friends, as the year begins, I pray that you will resolve to love God even more this year. That you will remember that God will supply the strength that you need when you go through hard times. And also, when you go through the hard times, or even when you go through the valley of Baca, that the Lord will supply his strength. And that's not all. Even when you are there, the Bible tells us a promise that they go from strength to strength in verse 7 till each appears before God in Zion. That no amount of struggle that you're going to witness will take you away from God. Paul says, what can separate us from the love of God? There is nothing that will separate you from the love of God. And as we do this journey, aiming one day to be able to get that crown of eternal life, that God will take care of us, and each one of us, those who have come to faith in him, they will appear before God in Zion. Yes, we may reach there with many scars, but finally, we reach there and we'll wipe away the tears that we have cried. One of the things that we not have in heaven is tear ducts, because we not need to cry anymore. They will no longer be there. They will not be of any necessity. So those are some of the things that God will remove, because God himself will come and wipe away our tears. But know that even when you go through the valley of Baca, that still God can strengthen you. And let us respond by serving him and asking him, Lord, how do you want me to minister to your people? How do you want me to serve you? With humility and with gratitude. Allow me to invite the music team so that we may sing this song of trusting and relying on God and waiting on him. And I pray that it will minister to you even as we start this year, and even later as we pray together, that the things that the Lord has in store for us, that still we can wait on him, that we can trust in him. So I want to encourage you, friends, that trust in the Lord. He never fails. He's never malicious. We can wait on him. And he is the one who rewards those who diligently seek him, those who pursue him, those who look for him. Would you please stand so that we may sing this one song, and then immediately after that, we may say a word of prayer.